Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, we are in our series called The Great Doctrines of the Bible, and we are looking at the subject of Satan and demonology. Satan and demonology. The scriptures teach the existence of Satan, who is the originator of sin and the king over a host of fallen angels and spirits called demons. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he came to conquer death and sin, also at the same time conquered Satan and his kingdom of darkness at Calvary. We, as the born-again church, are commissioned by the Lord to proclaim the gospel so that those who believe and are saved by it also can experience deliverance from Satan's kingdom of darkness and enjoy the liberation of being the children of God in his kingdom of light. So now I want to look at the origin of Satan. From whence did this supernatural being come from? We've already seen that Satan was an angel created by God. But what about his origin? It has been asked, where did the devil come from? Since God is the creator of all, even of angelic beings, then God must have created Lucifer, the highest of the order of the angelic rank. God did not create Lucifer a devil, but Lucifer made himself a devil. He did this through his own free will. And by his misuse of free will, he rebelled against the authority of God and turned himself into the devil, the arch enemy of God. We're going to see that in Scripture, Satan's great wisdom and his dazzling beauty corrupted him by pride and ambition, and those two twins of moral corruption transformed him into the devil, a wicked, deceitful, and treacherous being. When we use the term Lucifer, it simply means son of the morning. Now, there are two passages in Scripture, particularly in the Old Testament, Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, where we learn of the origin of Satan and the reason for his fall and rebellion against God. Remember, we said that Satan now occupies a domain or a kingdom. It is called the kingdom of darkness in Galatians 1:13-14. Revelation 16:10. Jesus calls it Satan's kingdom. Matthew 12:25-26, and Luke 11:14-19. Satan's kingdom is diametrically opposed to the kingdom of God. It's in its nature, content, character, and purpose. Although Satan is a fallen angelic ruler who has a kingdom, and this kingdom is the current world system as we have it now, God nevertheless limits the control of Satan's authority and power and gives him permission only to do certain things. He is limited. He cannot exercise authority where God does not allow. Satan's will cannot violate or trump or thwart the greater sovereign will of God. Now let's go to the scripture passages in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. In both passages, there is an earthly king that is initially addressed. In Isaiah 14, it is the king of Babylon. And in Ezekiel 28, it is the king of the Phoenician city of Tyre. What is going on here? Well, in these two instances, God uses the characters of earthly kings, in this case the king of Babylon and the king of Tyre, to illustrate that their characters are the same as the character of Satan. Both these kings sought to be gods in their own rights. And so did Satan in the beginning. So what we have here working is the law of double reference. That is, in speaking of or to one person, there is a reference to another person beyond or behind them. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 are the two main passages of Scripture which describe Satan's origin and fall. The language used in these descriptions of the king of Babylon and the king of Tyre, obviously, when you look at the passages, they go beyond what could be applied to any earthly ruler and points to one supernatural king who rebels against God. So let's look first of all at Isaiah 14 for the origin of Satan. Looking at Isaiah 14:12 through 14. Excuse me for that static interference. This is a wireless mic and sometimes it goes in and out. So that's the noise that you heard. Anyway, let's look at Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14. Now remember in chapter 14 of Isaiah, the prophet is first addressing the earthly king, the king of Babylon. And his character and his acts mirror the greater king behind this earthly scene, and that would be Satan himself. We know this because verse 12 then goes beyond the earthly king of Babylon to Lucifer, the king of this present world system. Verse 12 of Isaiah 14, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit." Here we have Satan's reasons for rebellion in the great five I wills. Satan said that I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And lastly, I will be like the Most High. Here we see the five I wills of Lucifer's rebellion. This was his declaration of rebellion against God. And they emphasize his arrogance And they're all centered around the fact that he wanted to be God. And in wanting to become like God, he wanted to usurp and overthrow God himself. So Lucifer became Satan when he tried to make himself not only equal with God, but as one above God. And this is expressed by the five I wills. Each I will expresses covetousness. Satan would not be satisfied with anything short of holding and occupying the highest position in all of creation and existence. Pride. Pride is the great creator of sin. It was the sin that caused Lucifer to rebel against God and made Lucifer become Satan. And I should say also, pride was what caused Adam and Eve to fall into sin and rebellion against God. Why? Because they wanted to be like God when eating from the forbidden tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And this is what Scripture tells us. Pride goes before destruction, Proverbs 16:18. It has been said the middle letter of pride is I, just as it is in sin. And here in Isaiah 14, the big I brought about the fall of Satan, the chief ruling angel in heaven. He sinned against divine God's authority, God's power, his position, and he was then cast out of heaven. And in the end, we know from verse 15 that the defeat of Satan will be confinement in the lower parts of the pit. So we see then that Isaiah 14:12, the language shifts from the king of Babylon to Lucifer. And then the prophecy turns to the distant past and how Lucifer rebelled against God. And what was the chief cause of it? His own infatuation with himself, which created pride. And pride, in the end, caused him to rebel against God. Quite revealing that chapter is. Now let's, before we move on, the lesson here, or the reason for the double reference in Isaiah 14 between the king of Babylon, ultimately pointing to Satan himself, is that if God punished the blasphemous pride of this angel, he will then not fail any earthly human judge or king who, in the same spirit and character like Satan, tries to usurp the authority of God and rebel against him. Now let's go to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28 is another enlightening passage as to the origin of Satan. Isaiah 14 tells us the cause for Satan's rebellion. Ezekiel 28 shows us what Satan was before the fall, what position he occupied. And we learn here that, again, the law of double reference applies. The power behind the king of Tyre here really was Satan. And we read again in Ezekiel 28, 11 through 19. A lot of stuff here, and not enough time to give an exegetical or an expository detailed study. We'll just have to summarize what these verses are teaching and how they reveal Satan's pre-fallen state and then his fall into sin when he rebelled against God. Verse 14, speaking about Lucifer now, Satan. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created, till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your training, now let me just say that word trading, not training, I said trading, T-R-A-D-I-N-G. That word in the Hebrew means to campaign, to lead a revolt. So it could actually say, by the abundance of your campaigning against God or leading a rebellion against God, you became filled with violence within and you sinned. Therefore I cast you out as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. There's Satan's pride again, his own infatuation with himself. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they may gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities. By the iniquity of your trading, again, this would be by leading a campaign against God. The Hebrew there, that's what trading means. Therefore I brought fire from your midst, and it devoured you. I turned you to ashes upon the earth. All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a whore and shall be no more forever. Now, I think verses 17 through 19 are more difficult to apply to Satan. But let's look at verses 14 through 16. Again, we have some very enlightening details here as to Satan. First of all, he is called the anointed cherub. He is the anointed cherub who covered the throne of God or protected the throne of God. He was the angel, the chief angel, the head honcho, the top-ranking angel who ruled over all the angelic host. And his job was to guard the throne of God. He was the what the vice president is to the president, what the president of Israel is to the prime minister of Israel. Satan's position was second only to God in heaven. And of course, God being the creator and Satan a mere creature created by God. And the gap between first and second here is the distance of infinity. But Satan didn't think so. He thought, you know, I can muster up enough power so that I can become ruler in heaven myself. I've got the means to do it with. I can win people over by my charisma, my beauty, and so forth. One Bible teacher that I had, Eric Belcher at Christ for the Nations, made an interesting theory as to why Satan would think he could overthrow God, who is all powerful. He thinks that Satan deluded himself into believing in an evolutionary model of existence. And by that he meant that Satan deceived himself into thinking, you know, how do we know that God is a supreme being? How do we know that all of us did not just pop into existence and Elohim or God happens to be the most powerful one thus far because he evolved into that position? Who's to say I can't manipulate this evolutionary process, and I then can become God and grow into a more supreme being than Elohim. Very interesting postulation there. Perhaps Satan deceived himself into thinking that. Who knows? But the point of the matter is that in Satan's exalted privilege as the number one ruling angel, covering and guarding the throne of God as a cherubim, he had continuous and unrestricted access to God. He also led worship in heaven. He also led worship in heaven. How do we know that? Well, look at how do we know that? Well, look at verse 13 of Ezekiel 28. It says of Satan, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. Timbrels and pipes are musical instruments. So Satan was created to be the chief ruling angel in heaven. He was the angel who ruled over all the other angelic hosts. And God created him not only to guard his throne, but to lead the angelic hosts in heavenly praise of its creator. But the devil did not like that. He was lifted up in pride over his God-given wisdom, anointing, and beauty, according to Ezekiel 28:17. And when he sought to usurp the throne of God, he exalted himself and came under condemnation of God. And he led a third of the angelic hosts in heaven in his rebellion. The five I wills of Satan we saw of Lucifer, same person, in Isaiah 14, indicate that. And from verse 17 of Ezekiel 28, he was lifted up because he was infatuated with his own angelic beauty. Satan, in declaring his five I wills for rebellion against God, showed by wanting to ascend into heaven, when he said, I will ascend into heaven, demonstrated self-will. When he said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, he was seeking to self-exaltation. When he said, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregations in the side of the north, he was seeking to enthrone himself in place of God. When Satan said, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, he was seeking to be the supreme one. He was attempting self-ascension. And fifth, and finally, in the I will statements, when Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High, he was seeking self-deification. And he will accomplish this in the tribulation period. Satan seeks to be worshipped. He is an angelic creature who seeks to be worshipped as God in place of God. And there is the essence of the spirit of Antichrist. And Satan will have his wish fulfilled during the tribulation period, probably in the last 3.5 years, starting with the abomination of desolation. This coincides with Satan being cast out of heaven, the third heaven, where God is, and he will plummet to the earth and then personally possess the Antichrist, and through him seek to be worshipped as God above all that is God. 2 Thessalonians 2, 6 through 8. Revelation 11 and Matthew 24:15. That is called the abomination of desolation. So the devil was the first person to sin and to rebel against God. As the anointed cherub, Lucifer, or Satan, covered God's throne. He guarded it, in other words. But instead of guarding this throne and leading the angels into praise and worship of their Creator, he sought to become the Creator by overthrowing God and seizing His throne. We do know that from Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 that Lucifer was, in his pre-fallen state, the number one angel. He was the highest ranking angel of heaven who ruled over all the other angels. That means Michael and Gabriel were under his authority, while he, of course, was under the authority of God. But at some point in time, Lucifer fell from his high and privileged position. His beauty caused his heart to be lifted up in pride, and his brightness brought about his corruption. Lucifer then became Satan when he attempted to make himself greater than God, when he sought to be above God, and when he sought to replace God. This is what we learn. This is what God reveals to us about the enemy in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. Lucifer means light bearer. As a penalty for his rebellion, Satan was cast down from heaven together with a group of angels, one third of them, who conspired with him in this rebellion against God. Satan sought allies. When God created man, he eyed Adam and Eve and entered into the serpent and supernaturally spoke through this creature in the attempt to cause Adam and Eve to fall in rebellion against God, in the same way Lucifer did. Both man and Satan rebelled against God in that they wanted to become like God. And that is the heart of sin. Satan's pride and man's pride in thinking they can become God. And all that comes with that, the essence of satanic philosophy is I will become like the Most High. I will do things my way, not God's way. On and on we could go, but that is the essence of sin, is rebellion against God, seeking to replace God, thinking that you can become God or create God in your own image after your own vain imaginations. The devil does indeed operate through the philosophy of self, that self is all that matters, self is all that counts, and one must do everything to promote self. That, my friend, is the work of the devil and the very heart of his rebellion against God. And later, in the Garden of Eden, it was at the very heart of Adam and Eve who rebelled against God. Remember, Satan promised them they could be like God if they disobeyed the Word of God. Whenever Satan comes to tempt, it is always in contradiction to the Word of God. That is his role as the tempter, one of his many roles. And we're going to look at Satan's nature, character, and his roles next time we are with you. And all of those features are represented by the different names God gives Satan in Scripture. So we'll be looking at that next time we are with you. Again, we want to hear from you. The announcer will tell you at the end of this broadcast how you may contact us. We have a bi-monthly newsletter available free, chronicling our gospel witnessing encounters with the Jewish people in Israel. And we also have sound Bible teaching. So please avail yourselves of that. Let us hear from you. Until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Aleichem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.